Hello, this is Domine de Groot from Audio Epics. Welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast.
Well, hello there. Welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. We are back, myself, Matthew and Robert. We're back in our mobile recording studio on wheels, otherwise known as a car. We haven't done this for a while, Robert, have we?
No, it's a welcome return. I like to get out of the house and go and sit in a strange car park now and again. Especially if I've got somebody with me and a reason for being here, and that way I can't be moved along and or arrested.
So we are the podcast about all things audio drama production, as you could tell from our title, and you can find us online at the website audiodramaproduction.com. Now on this podcast, we do try to make our content evergreen. It's our aim that if we put out an episode just now, and time of recording it's July 2015, the idea is that you could listen to this show 10 years from now and it still be relevant. But there has been some pretty big news in the audio drama world, in the podcasting world as well. Barack Obama was on a podcast, wasn't he, recently?
Yeah, it was really good. He went to the guy's garage. I can't remember the host's name, but he's well known.
Mark Maron.
That's him, yeah. So the fact that Mr. Obama acknowledged the fact that podcasts are a viable means of communication these days, which they ruddy well are, it's really good to see the profile being raised.
And that's actually not our news. It was just, I think it was worth mentioning because a lot of podcasts have been and people that haven't heard of podcasts now will be looking towards podcasting, and that means maybe audio drama as well. And it's funnily enough, audio drama, that's where our big news is, because We're Alive, an audio drama that we're very keen on, and I think we've mentioned once or twice before, their new project, Lockdown, was funded on Kickstarter by their fans. They set a goal of $50,000 to raise that, and they actually raised just under $55,000 in the end. That was a couple of days ago there, so what a tremendous achievement, isn't it?
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, that would pay my mortgage off. So already I'm having ideas. Hey, guys, who wants to pay my mortgage? And
there's a photo of Casey Wayland and Grayson Stone in Bermuda, and they're like, yeah, yeah, they're recording, yeah, we'll get to that.
We're Alive, Bermuda.
But yeah. Brilliant stuff, and I was actually listening to an interview with Casey Wayland, with Fred, on Radio Drama Revival. He had a chat with Fred, and this was actually before they were funded. And I'll put the link to it in the show notes if you haven't heard it, because it was really insightful about the whole process and, you know, the fact that he didn't actually want to go down this route of doing the crowdfunding, and that I think they might have had a backer who pulled out, but you find out all the details in the interview. But Fred made a great point in the interview that this really does validate the demand for quality audio drama, and it shows, you know, it shows like a roadmap or a pathway to achieving what they've achieved, doesn't it? And it's, you know, this is going to have a knock-on effect in the future in audio drama, because it's unprecedented, isn't it?
As far as I know, it is, yeah. But I would give one note of warning here, is that it's not going to be as easy as that for everybody to say, hey, right, I want to make an audio drama for the first time, right, I'll set up a Kickstarter of 20k. Like, bear in mind that Casey Wayland made a phenomenally excellent product for 5 years and built up an amazing fan base. How many downloads have they had now? Like 20 million? 30 million?
Yeah, I heard the figure 36 million being
Good
touted.
Grief. So that's the kind of level you want to get at before you can expect to raise the kind of money that Casey's doing now. But maybe that's the way to go. Show you're excellent, show you can do it, and then you can start to ask for the fans to give something back.
Well, that is the growth strategy in audio drama that we talk about. It's all about slow, patient building, lots and lots of work, very few immediate rewards. You know, this is a long game. It's not the case. I mean, I'm not saying it can't be done, but just to make something and sell it, this just really isn't the medium for that if you're coming with no reputation or no previous works under your belt. And a point as well about the, you know, the 55 grand, it's not actually a profit or a wage. And it, like you say, Robert, it no way compensates for the time and effort that they've put into to making the shows. It proves beyond all doubt that they've built a fan base who want their content so much that they're willing to raise tens of thousands for it, doesn't it? You know, that patient building. And like you say, it's not the sort of thing that we could go out and replicate tomorrow, but it is certainly something that's it's a huge milestone for the medium.
Yeah, and I'd like to see more of it, because we've all been complaining that there's no money in the industry, you know. How do we get paid, and how do we pay for content? And, you know, there have been people on the internet of late saying, right, everybody, start charging for your work from now. And that's not going to work.
No. You know,
not while so many shows are free, and we just can't convert to that. But how wonderful is it that Casey's raising the money, and he's going to be able to use that to pay for things and pay people as well. So, you know, off the back of people giving their free time for however long, they're now going to be able to get a little something back. And that's kind of the dream as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and them as an independent production house or production company, that's what's so big about this, because we've seen it before in other mediums where the creators have proved that there's a serious demand for their content, and this attracts the attention of investors and backers, and who knows how far it will take them. You know, people might look at that now and say, they've just raised this money with their fan base. There obviously is a lot of people out there. You know, there was over 1,000 backers. And I know, again, people will say, well, 36 million to 1,000, that's not so much, but really it is. Like, 36 million downloads doesn't mean you've got 36 million listeners. Otherwise, you know, that would be everyone just listening to one of their shows once. They had a lot of shows. So, you know, to have over 1,000 people that are actually giving you money and saying, that content you made, I like that so much, I want to give you money because I want more of it, that's massive. And people will take notice of that. And, I can't speculate on who that might be. Companies, advertisers, people that fund creative projects, anything like that. When they see that there's this viable demand that they've built, they'll be interested in it. And, you know, I'm looking forward to see where it takes them in the long term.
I'm surprised there aren't any radio stations that have picked it up and actually paid for it to be, for the content to be aired, you know, like maybe on a weekly basis or something, because that seems really obvious to me. Okay, you've got the content, it's just a bit, it's R-rated or whatever, but I think we will eventually see, because of things like this, I really can see a future where we have the Netflix-style source of content for audio. It's happening, it's definitely happening. People are going to take notice. The companies, iTunes, there's definite growth. So it's not like, oh, is the industry shrinking? Is it staying the same? It's definitely growing, and that can only be good for the future.
So it's a good time to consider your own position and your long-term aims. Like, I mean, if you're a hobbyist, if you work alone and you put out a few shows a year in your spare time, that's absolutely fine. You know, if you're doing that and you're happy with doing that, then brilliant. Just, you know, keep plugging away, keep getting your shows out there when you can. But if you're sort of looking to create more consistent content, putting stuff out there regularly and making something that's financially viable, I think, and again, the link to this interview is in the show notes, but Casey in the interview with Fred had said that he'd nearly put himself in an early grave making We're Alive, because he was writing the thing, he was editing most of it, he was the director, he was the guy who cast, you know, did the auditions, he did everything. And I would say to people, like, be wary of going down that route. And this comes back to an episode a few weeks ago that we did, and you know, you can do everything, yes, but should you? And ask yourself, how could I get more quality consistent content out there? Are you prepared to just go alone and ruin your health and your home life? I'm not saying it would for everyone, I'm just saying, you know, it's a possibility. Is it better that people start seriously considering pulling their resources, getting together with people they know in audio drama, and trying to do something collaboratively. I mean, we're going down the Valenhie route, and we welcome anyone to get involved in that with us.
Yeah.
Is this something we'll see a bit more of in the future?
I certainly hope so. It's taken us 5 years, or 4 years maybe, to get to know people and get to know composers. We only knew one composer for a long time, and now we know a couple, which is great. So that's maybe one of the big challenges for future collaborations for anybody, is getting to know different people that do different things. So that would perhaps be something worth looking at in the future, like an online resource where everybody lists what they do and what they're looking to do, something like that, you know, like a section for, you know, looking for composers. I don't know, like almost like a Craigslist.
Yeah,
or, you know.
I think we talked about doing this before, but I mean, I suppose people generally would want to work with people that they know and yeah, like and trust. So just because you had a list of people that said, I can produce, you know, you might end up with a very, very competent writer hooking up with somebody who, you know, their production, that they've got little experience, their production's not quite up to scratch yet, and it wouldn't do the writing justice, or vice versa. You might end up with a very competent producer and someone's writing a script and they've got a long way to go before it's a decent story that they're trying to tell. So I think rather than this sort of blind date approach, it's better just reaching out to people that you know in the community. Yeah, you've heard their work before, you know what they do, and you know, if people are in between projects, now's maybe a good time to move forward with those relationships and hook up with people and say, do you fancy trying to create something and make it something that's quite consistent? I was saying myself that with Valenhie, I'd be happy to get 4 finished episodes per year out, you know, like a seasonal thing. So you've got a summer, an autumn, a winter, etc., a spring. But 4 episodes a year, you're not going to build the momentum that the likes of We're Alive had. And Leviathan, when it wasn't on a hiatus, they really seemed to have that snowball effect with their listeners because they were getting episodes out there. Also, the episodes are very good, but the fact that you're releasing stuff, that's how you build an audience.
Yeah.
I think, you know, do you have to maybe be getting something out at least every month? Would that be a fair comment?
I think that was our aim in the past, which we usually didn't achieve with Aftermath, is to get one episode out a month. A month feels like a fair balance, I think. I mean, TV shows and so on, they usually go for one a week, don't they, to keep the consistency, but that's just not possible here. I wonder if we, you know how like we're both very busy during the summer, but less so perhaps in the winter. Maybe we should spend the summer doing much more writing and getting stuff in, and then hammering the producing later on in the year. And then suddenly you're having a consistent release because we're getting them out, we're getting them done, you know? Maybe that's something to look at.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, I was having a chat with Brian Lincoln, who was on last week's episode, and we were actually talking about this. It kind of links in with what you're saying there about if you were making episodes and not releasing them, so that you could then, you know, you had a batch of 10 episodes that you could then put out fortnightly, and you've given yourself a buffer because these episodes are in the bank and you're not just playing catch up with yourself.
Yeah.
But he was talking about this because I think, you know, his new show, I think he's had the cover art done, but he's a long way off actually getting the first episode out. And he said, oh, I really want to show everyone this artwork, but it's almost building excitement that you can't then follow it up with anything.
Yeah.
So you've lost, in a way, you've lost a bit of momentum. If he keeps that artwork for a week before his first episode comes out, then people get excited by the cover art, and then it's still fresh in their minds the week after when he releases that first episode. So you've built this momentum. On the other hand, you release something a year apart, you've just, you know, people have forgotten about it. And I remember with Aftermath, we went through an unusually productive spell. I think we had a bit of free time over a few weeks. We actually knocked out a few episodes. We managed to release one month, and then the next month we had another episode. And then and the following month, we got an email from someone saying, where's this month's episode? We were like, whoa, we never promised a monthly release schedule. But it shows you people are aware that they've this episode's dropped into their feed each month. So again, you know, Aftermath, it was a very small thing, and it just shows you it made an impact when we released each month for 2 months. But people were aware of it, and that, you know, imagine we'd went a year and we'd put 12 episodes out per month. I bet there would have been a fair old bit of momentum there. So it's something to think about, but that's not the sort of thing you can do on your own, unless unless you're Bruce Wayne, you have lots of money and nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Batman reference there, surprised at that, I bet, Robert.
I'm giddy inside.
I thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, I haven't got a Star Wars reference in yet, but I'll think about it. And you know what, now that we've been talking about it, I'm actually dead keen to try to work out a way where we're releasing Valenhai episodes every month, even if that means a lot of work for months without any output, because we're building up and building up and building up. I mean, we're still writing the background to Valenhai. I've got loads of ideas I want to get on paper today to do with the background, and then people keep writing to us as well and saying, oh, and what about this and what about that, and what's the deal with such and such a country? And it's like, well, A, we don't know yet, but hang on. Or B, why don't you tell us and we'll work it in? So it's this wild project that's kind of getting out of hand in a good way, you know? So maybe we should really nail a lot of stuff down, get some stories approved, and really get to work on it.
Yeah, we've got the writer's guide, and it's a collaborative process. And we're, you know, the stuff that has been established for now is in there.
Yeah.
And we've got a few really good synopsis, and I know a few people are well into producing their own scripts now. And we have a couple as well that we wrote ourselves in production. And the good thing about this process is that once, you know, right now someone could be sitting writing a Valenhai script, but if we were still doing Aftermath and we're sitting here recording this podcast, Aftermath's at a standstill.
Yeah.
So the good thing is this is a project that is being worked on. Maybe sometimes we'll be sleeping or we'll be in the pub and it's being worked on. The writer has the option to get involved in the casting or not, and it'd be good if they did.
Yeah. Take the load off.
So, you know, people could be sorting out their own cast. I think the only real bottleneck at the moment is we still wanted to produce it in-house just because we wanted to have a consistent sound, but that could change in the future. I think certainly if we did want to, and I do want to get monthly episodes out, we would probably need at least another producer.
Yeah, once we've got a few episodes out, then there is a consistent sound that future producers could refer to, and they'd know the sort of thing that we're looking to achieve. We'd be able to work with them on it as well, you know, and I think they'd be able to continue what we will have started by then. So, yeah, we should probably set ourselves a target of a couple of episodes or half a dozen, and then we could start to say to people, right, okay, so you can see what we're going for here. Have at it.
Yeah, and it's a constant improvement thing with anything. You know, we wouldn't be saying that this episode, you know, you must look up to this episode as you've got to aspire to it, because you're always improving. But it's just a case of, you know, you do hear some very differently produced audio drama, and you know that there are ways of producing that might be totally different, and therefore probably not, you know, not beneficial to building a fan base, because your listeners come to expect certain sounds, certain techniques. So,
yeah,
just as long as it wasn't too different. But yeah, we will produce the first few ourselves, and then we'll see how it goes. We'll sit down and talk about it. But I think it is definitely, it's much harder to get someone to do production work for you than it is to get someone to write for you, purely because a lot more people out there write than produce. I think that's the bottom line.
Yeah. What I like as well about this whole thing is that before Aftermath, say episode 3 has finished, or we finished writing it and we're producing it, we couldn't really go on to write the next one yet because we were worried about getting 3 in the bag. So everybody that's in Aftermath at the end of the episode was frozen in time, and you couldn't do anything with it until you were ready to really move on. Whereas, you know, we could be writing an episode right now for Valenhai, and then somebody else is writing an episode which is completely unconnected events-wise, or is maybe 100 years previous, so who cares what's happening in the story we're writing. You know, it's a sprawling map that's writing itself in no particular area at once, you know. And so there's a lot of freedom there, which I love.
Well, we'll leave it there then. Be interested to hear everyone's thoughts. podcast@audiodramaproduction.com. And if you're interested in getting involved in Valenhai, head over to the website valenhai.com. You can hear the trailer there. You can request a copy of the writer's guide. There's ways to send in auditions to be a voice actor. There's all that sort of stuff. The section on the website called Get Involved, that's where you want to be.
Can I just say one thing about the script I've written? Worse than chains. I've had a lot of auditions come in for different parts. I still need one or two voices for one or two parts, I think, before I can really make a move on it. So if anybody's interested, let me know. Email us podcast@audiodramaproduction.com. And I'll get back in touch with the people that have auditioned very soon. So thanks for your patience.
Couple of heads up on Patreon. We have two new Knights of the Pledge.
Yeah.
We have Joshua, who's the creator of The Adventures of Lord Dinby Witherspoon, Duke of Space, which he alluded that he was inspired to create that by the Daring Dashwood adventures, the old-time radio dramas on Fallout 3, a game which we know, like, and love, Robert.
Rather much, yes. It was basically the game that inspired us to make Aftermath, really, in terms of setting a post-apocalyptic world. So, Joshua, thank you very, very much, A, for contributing to our fundraising and for making The Adventures of Lord Dinby Witherspoon, Duke of Space, because I'm really interested to hear it. I was interested anyway, but when you referenced Herbert Daring Dashwood, I thought, oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to this very much. You magnificent B-word. Anyway, so yeah, thanks very much.
So he left a nice wee iTunes review as well, and thanks as well for that, Joshua. Will we stick a trailer on to Dinby Witherspoon?
I rather believe so.
Out past the farthest orbit of Pluto, out in the loneliest regions of space, in the most remote corner of the British Space Empire, sails a ship of unparalleled design, equipped for exploration, adventure, and if need be, battle. The Wanderer hurtles through the darkest space for queen and country. Let us look for a moment within her metal walls.
There you are, my lord. I had thought to found you in the 7th lounge, but here you are in the 10th. I should have known.
Well, yes. One cannot spend all of one's time in the same spot. A bit of variety. That is the spice of one's life, yes?
Oh, too true, my lord, too true. I believe it was Aristotle who said... Well, it was something to that effect, my lord.
A wise chappy, that Aristotle. Now, was there something you had in mind, or were you just here to discuss Greek philosophy?
Ah, well, yes, of course, my lord. But I was wondering whether or not we'd be doing another season.
Come again, Huxley.
Well, you see, my lord, we had a bit of a turbulence in our setting out. But I believe we had a rather strong finish, you know? And... well, to put it plainly, the crew and I would like to know if you intend to continue your adventuring.
I must say, old man, I'm rather disappointed that you even have to ask. Of course we'll do another season. 20 more episodes. And a Christmas special.
Well, my lord, I must say I am rather pleased. When can the crew expect to set out again?
You can tell them that we will be embarking on our second season on the 29th of July.
And will we be seeing old faces, my lord?
You can count on it, Huxley. The crew will have their hands full with old friends and new. But now I shan't say more. One does not wish to let the cat entirely out of the bag, you know?
Ah, quite right. Hush, hush. Need to know matters. I do know indeed, my lord. I will let the crew know straight away.
There's a good chap.
Hello?
Join us starting July 29th at dukeofspace.com for the explosive beginning of the second season of The Adventures of Lord Dinby Witherspoon, Duke of Space.
And the other pleasure is Neil at Twilight Audio Theatre, creator of Ankh. Thanks very much, Neil. And that's a show that we're both really looking forward to hearing, isn't it?
Yeah, big thanks to Neil for joining the Knights of the Pledge. And just to whet your appetite for his show, here is a wee trailer.
Hello, this is Neil Gustin with the Twilight Audio Theatre. In just a moment, you'll be listening to a short preview of the opening scene of our upcoming science fiction audio drama, Ankh, Episode 1, Endings and Beginnings. But first, in the background, you are hearing the song Blue by MHM featuring Holly Linden, who plays Sandy in the series, and their songs will be featured throughout the production, along with, surprise, surprise, scoring by Kevin MacLeod. Now, the clip you're about to hear features A.J. Wickham as the announcer, Tom Irvine as Maxwell, and Russell Gold of Edict Zero fame and star of Twilight Audio Theater's The Soul Man, written by Mike Murphy, which has been nominated for a Parsec Award. Shameless plug. But enough of my yakking. Enjoy the clip, and don't forget to support the Audio Drama Production Podcast and all the amazing audio dramatists in our growing community. Have a good one.
That sometimes is easier said than done.
Twilight Audio Theater presents Ankh, an audio science fiction adventure. Episode 1, Endings and Beginnings.
Who's there?
Maxwell.
Show yourself.
I can see you.
Murakai.
Be thy bowman. I hear the blood of that human.
You'll never have it.
Give it to us.
Go to hell.
Associates and I enjoy a spirited hunt. But all good things must come to an end. For the last time, where is the Ankh?
You'll never find it.
So be it.
You're one ugly son of a...
Braver in the face of death. Admirable. This chase has made me quite hungry. I claim the liver! This really is the sweetest meat. Captain's prerogative.
So we mentioned a few weeks ago that we were having a wee competition on the email list. It was to win a couple of books. One book was called Sound Design by David Sonnenschein. I think that's how you say his name. The other book was called The Art of Voice Acting by James Allberger. And all you had to do to enter this competition was sign up to our email list. And many people did. And now, Robert, we're going to do a prize draw to give these two books away. So in the contents of this here bag, we have the contents. In the contents, we have the contents.
That's brilliant.
We have the have the entire email list. Right. Not the physical people in the bag, but their names on various bits of paper. So would you like to put your hand in there and select someone?
There's not going to be like dog doing here. It's not one of those elaborate tricks.
There's going to be a mouse trap.
Right. And the name on this one is Diane Gray. And she's won a copy of Sound Design.
Good. Well done, Diane.
Yeah. And one more?
Yep.
Yeah. Right, and hang on. This one is Malk Williams, and he wins a copy of Voice Acting.
Malk Williams, well done to Malk. So Diane and Malk, the winners of these two books. Do you think I should email them, or do you think I should find out if they listen to the podcast by just waiting?
Yeah.
I think I'll email them eventually, but yeah. I'm gonna leave it a couple of weeks.
Diane and Malk, what you have to do is go in the Facebook group and put the word swordfish, and that's the secret code, and then we'll know that you listen.
I hate that we assume that everyone has Facebook. Like, I think less and less people do nowadays.
If they want their free book, that's what
they've got to sign up.
Nothing's free in this world.
No, email me, Matthew@audiodramaproduction.com. I'll sort you right out. I hope none of you live in remote places that's going to cost an absolute fortune to send these books to.
Right.
If they do, I don't know, maybe need some of that £55,000 from...
I was going to say, we have to start a Kickstarter just to send free books out.
Yeah, you could probably buy the... In fact, could probably buy it cheaper on Amazon and have it sent there. But
that's an idea.
Never mind. So that's that. What have we been listening to recently? We mentioned the interview with Casey Weiland on Radio Drama Revival. I'd actually been listening to a new audio drama called The Strange Disappearance of Henry Allison. This is by a producer called Tom Bajoris. I was chatting to Tom on Twitter because I listened to his show, and what a rich, vibrant soundscape. I was really, really impressed. I heard an interview with Tom on the Doorpost Project podcast, and it turns out Tom's actually a very, very experienced sound producer of many decades.
Wow.
And that doesn't surprise me, actually, because I listened to this to his episode one. There's just one episode out at the moment, but I think he's got another 7 in production at the moment. And I said to him the soundscape was brilliant. Really, really, you know, there was loads going on. It was one of these really rich soundscapes where every sound is accounted for. And very impressive stuff, and I really look forward to hearing the rest of it. So I'll put links to that in the show notes.
Yeah, I've not managed to listen to a lot of stuff in the past week or so, but I've been listening to Hadron Gospel Hour again. I'm up to episode 8 and I'm absolutely loving it, so more love to the guys. And that's it, that's all I've managed. Oh, and the A Writer's Life podcast.
Oh, Dan Black, I interviewed him recently.
Yeah.
Love Dan Black.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of good stuff in there. He's so passionate, I love it. And some really good tips. I mean, he talks more about straight writing, you know, like fiction writing or whatever, as opposed to audio drama writing. But there's a lot of stuff in there that you can take away. So I do recommend you catch that if you can. A Writer's Life. Check it out in the usual places, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, that sort of thing.
Yeah, Dan's actually going to be on the show within the next couple of weeks, because I interviewed him the other week. So look forward to that. We'll be chatting about writing. We'll be chatting about just general self-improvement.
Yeah.
And I really, really did enjoy talking to him. I've been listening to Minister of Chance, and this is actually came through Kessie, who you probably know or have heard of. We decided to do a thing called Reviews Day a while back. It basically meant that on a Tuesday, you take some time out your day to go and review an audio drama that you really like or something that you've just not long listened to. And just a way of spreading the love a wee bit and helping others to get higher up the rankings and give more ears to audio drama. And what, you know, Kessie's basically taken this on, hasn't she? And she's really pushing it on the Facebook group. And what she's started doing as well is on a Thursday, she's been selecting an audio drama at random from, I think she's got like a Google Doc with loads of dramas on it.
All right.
She's been selecting a show at random for everyone to listen to that week. I think it's so that the reviews could be a bit more syndicated,
right?
Because I think if a show gets a few reviews at once, it helps rather than just drip feeding, you know.
Yeah.
Getting one a month or whatever. So the show that came up this week was Minister of Chance. This is one of these shows that's really highly thought of, and I believe it has some links to Doctor Who as well. I don't think it's a Doctor Who fan fiction, but I think it might be. I could be totally wrong. I suspect it might be in that universe.
Right.
But I'd heard a lot of great things about Minister of Chance, and actually I had listened to, it was either the prologue episode or the first episode a few years ago, and really enjoyed it. And then, you know, sometimes you do that, you listen to something, and for some reason you just forget to listen to the rest of it.
Yeah.
Whether it's just a period in your life where you're not listening to a lot of stuff. But I'd heard this before, so this was a good reason to go back to it.
Right.
And download a few episodes, and I just started again. And what a fantastic production.
Right, wow.
Really, really good. Again, you know, a fantastic soundscape. The acting was absolutely first class, and I can see why so many people list this. And, you know, when people are saying that what their favourite dramas are, maybe their top five dramas, you'll hear a lot of people mention Minister of Chance. It has a huge fan base. Topically, for what we were talking about earlier, I think they had a fairly successful Kickstarter project a few years ago, I think. I'm sure someone will get in touch and fill us in on that, but there's not that many episodes, but it really is brilliant, well worth checking out.
No.
And certainly one of the best productions I've heard so far, you know, just an all-round good production with great acting. The writing was really good and funny at times, and you know, the cast, really, really professional sounding. So I'll be leaving a healthy review for them once I hear a few more next week.
Excellent. So would you say it's a science fiction podcast then? Well, as a type of story?
Sci-fi's a... I suppose it's a wide label, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that is certainly has a science fiction element to it. Yeah, I wouldn't like to pigeonhole it without hearing more. But...
Yeah,
if you haven't heard it before, and I'm sure many have, go and check it out.
No, it sounds good. I love me a bit of sci-fi if it is even anything remotely like that, so I'm going to check it out, I promise you.
And if it has Doctor Who links, then you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Matthew McLean, Doctor Who fan.
Yeah. That was something we were talking about earlier on, is the whole genre growing thing and, you know, people taking notice. It does make me wonder, though, about the whole copyright issue. And I know we've been into this before, but can they raise money for a project that basically, you know, cuts into someone else's copyright? I don't know.
I don't know enough about it to comment. They could be licensed to do it. Don't know. I'm going in completely blindfolded and ignorant here, so right. I wouldn't like to comment. I'm sure we'll be corrected or informed.
Yeah.
When this episode goes out, but
knowledge is only a good thing. So if you've got any comments on that, please do let us know.
Crowdfunding stuff, because that's, you know, very topical this week.
Sure is.
Matthew and Monique at Oral Stage, they've launched a campaign for their next production, Otherworldlies. I nipped on there this morning and made a small contribution to that. That was on, I don't think it was a Kickstarter, I think it's called Razoo. Just another crowdfunding website.
Right.
So I went on and pledged through PayPal. And our old friend EC Bond at Methodical Studios, he's running one at the moment for, is it season 2 of Pen and Paper?
Yep, sure is. I've heard season 1 and I really loved it, actually. And not just because it was involving role-playing, but some really good stuff. Very easy to listen to. Dialogue, which I love. I'm excited for season 2. And may well chip in.
So these are the two places that are getting the £10 at the moment that we all pass around.
Yeah.
So we will include the links to those in the show notes if you've some spare cash, which we all do, and if you're feeling generous, you can pledge over there. You'll have noticed at the start of the show, if you're paying attention, that we've been doing some new introductions to the start of the podcast. Basically, we've invited some of our favourite people in the audio drama world to do these wee intros for us. And if you want to do one yourself, please do. You can record it and send it in to us at podcast@audiodramaproduction.com, and we'll queue it up to open a future episode.
Sounds good. Maybe we can get celebrities in the future, like Patrick Stewart or somebody like, "You're listening to the Audio Drama Production Podcast."
Yeah, or Brian Blessed,
yeah,
could do one.
Who sounds like this? "You're listening to the Audio Drama Production." So, yeah, if you see any celebrities out there, track them down, get into their faces with your mobile phone, set it to record, and get them to read something for the podcast. We'd love that.
Speaking of celebrities, I've got a story, seeing as we're, I think we're at the end of the show. We've covered everything we need to cover.
Yeah.
Next week, I graduate from university with my degree in creative...
One morning.
Yeah, my degree in creative sound production, for what that's worth. But I was thinking back, when we were at college,
yeah,
we met at college, and you weren't at the college graduation because you were at university yourself down in Englandshire,
yeah,
at that time.
Southern Scotlandshire.
So you missed all the great fun that we had at the college graduation. You know how colleges and universities get celebrities in to do the graduation. I don't know, yeah, why. Like, I genuinely have no idea why that's in the culture of academic graduations. But
to raise the profile, I guess. They'll give them an honorary title, which just means nothing. They haven't paid money to give them a... You can just like say, "Here, have a bit of paper, you're now a doctor," but not in any way that's useful.
Yeah.
But come along and be famous, please.
Have a straw title.
Yeah.
Well, the college, there's a painter in Fife called Jack Vetriano. He's,
yeah,
pretty famous on at least a national level, isn't he?
Yeah.
And
well, you know, my dad and my brother and family were in, I think it was Spain or France or somewhere, and they had paintings in this cafe by Jack Vetriano, and my dad was trying to say in pigeon Scottish that he's my homeboy, he's my bro, he's from where I'm from. So yeah, these paintings are around in the world, so he is kind of famous. Sorry, I just had to chuck that in.
So Jack Vetriano at the college graduation, except it wasn't Jack Vetriano that the college invited, it was his brother-in-law.
Not even a blood relative.
No. I think it was just some guy at the pub. Like, they thought, "Oh, we were meant to book a celebrity. Someone nip down to Wetherspoons and just get a guy
and make
off
him
a bar stool." I would have thought they could have made something better up than that. I mean, really, genuinely, not to diss the guy, you know, if he is his brother-in-law, I'm sure. In fact, he looked like he didn't want to be there.
Right.
I think he was a bit embarrassed about the whole thing.
He was worried that he was going to get caught out, that he was just having them on, saying it was his brother-in-law. So,
really, really unimpressive. Like, they would have been better just, you know, not mentioning it at all.
Chuck, some painter's brother-in-law.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
So that was that. I'm wondering what the university are going to pull out the bag. We'll maybe get, I don't know, Sean Connery's paper boy, something like that.
Maybe. There was a pantomime in England somewhere, and it was, you know, Starsky and Hutch, the TV series?
Yeah.
You know, the character Huggy Bear? It was Huggy Bear's son that was in this pantomime. So it's like, yeah, my dad was famous 40 years ago, and now I'm here.
What did they, you know how they do the pantomime posters, and they've got the bell in, they've got all the actors' names?
Yeah.
Did they just write Huggy Bear's son on the... They must have, because yeah, if they wrote his real name, no one would have known who he was.
I think so.
And he, yeah, would have to get that out in the panto, you know, they would have to work that into the script.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd be lost on everyone. There'd be no point in casting him.
No, I don't know.
You have to ask yourself what kind of an audience he brought to the table as well.
Locals. Let's say locals looking to fill some time. And that's it. My graduation featured Steve Cram, the runner from 1980.
Right.
And he told us about academic achievement, a runner. In fact, I think he might be the sort of pretend principal of the college or something, or the university, I don't know.
Fitness guys are really into that pseudo-inspirational stuff, aren't they? Oh,
yeah.
You know, when I was out running on the track, it's actually just like your job, and you just need to drive forward and stuff. And
you'll hit the wall, but you've just got to keep going, get over that wall by climbing it.
Anyway, back to your cubicle for your 9-to-5 that you hate.
Yeah, that's going nowhere.
So, yeah.
Dreary. So you're looking forward to graduation then?
Yeah.
You're glad to get back out in the real world?
Yeah, I think the plan is graduate and then the job centre's right over the road, sign on the dole and go to the pub. I'm not actually doing that. I have too many jobs as it is.
Yeah.
So fortunate in that sense, I suppose, if you look at it that way. But that's it for this week. Next week, probably an interview. In fact, I might stick the Dan Black interview on because...
Excellent.
I love him. Can't get enough of his show. I'm sure the listener will love him too. And I'd encourage you, before then, as homework, to check out some of his podcasts. A Writer's Life, links in the show notes to that.
He sounds quite young, but I think he's older than us by a year or two.
I think he's a man of his 30s, like us. A man of the 30s, not the 1930s.
I sometimes forget how old we are, actually. Like, because, you know, we're like late 20s. No, early 30s. No, mid 30s. Maybe for another 6 months. Gosh, time goes by. We better get back to the workstations and get some audio dramas done.
Yeah, well, we won't do that sitting around in this car, so let's get back to the... Not the drawing board, that sounds like we're starting again. Let's get back to the DAW.
Yeah. As usual, if you want to get in touch for any reason, even if it's just to chat and say hi, we always like to procrastinate. Get in touch, podcast@audiodramaproduction.com, and we're always hanging out in the Facebook group as well. We love you, we love audio drama, we love that you love audio drama. Speak to you soon.
Yeah, we'll catch up with you again next week. And as Marilyn Monroe once said, Merry Christmas, Mr. President.
Excellent.